It is time for Judy Werpman and Food for Mood joins us, of course, every Thursday morning. We get together and we take a look at what she has got to say. Now, Judy, of course, also is an author. She is a co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. And she is also author of Simon Loses His Tummy and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is. She's got power. She has the power. She is a powerful Judy Werpman.
Oh, my goodness. What an introduction. I feel like I should go back to bed at this point.
Now, I have a question. Do you have a new edition?
I do. We do. It's causing me a great deal of insomnia, but other than that, it's been really a lot of fun. We got a new puppy about a week and a half ago, a tiny little dachshund. It's called a piebald, which means it's a brand. It's a word. It's a variant that was unfamiliar to me, but she's cream and black. She weighs not quite 4 pounds, and she can outrun me at this point. And it's been fun. And finally, she sleeps through the night. But as I said to somebody, it's like raising an infant without diapers. So I'm running around the house.
Yep.
When she's not in her crate, making sure that I get her before with a pee pad before she gets to the floor.
It's good exercise. I bet if you were wearing a Fitbit, you would find that you are just you're just clocking the miles.
That's true.
And the reason that I mentioned this is because having a creature interfering. Is an interesting antidote to your topic today.
Well, yeah, it's Joy. I'm sorry. I was talking to some friend of mine named Joy. Jill, I've had conversations with several people over the last couple of weeks, and what's distressing about these conversations is really how unhappy people are. I don't know whether it's a cumulative effect, of seeing that plans disintegrate and loneliness intensifies, the terrible heat and humidity that most of the country has been facing, and as you are, the aftermath of storms that create an enormous amount of
inconvenience is the word you're looking for.
But the things that we look forward to this summer, especially when you go through a long, cold, miserable winter, just aren't happening this year. And and as the days go on and we go already into August, you realize there's no turning back. The summer is...
Oh, the days are definitely getting shorter.
Yes, and so, you think, good grief, here, this is a part of my life that's sort of a big blank. Nothing is happening except sort of negative things. And so, therefore, there's a good reason why there should be, almost a universal sort of low-level feeling of depression and what do I have to look forward to except more of the same, and I'm not happy with the same. But there's something else that occurs among some people during the summer, and that's the variant of something called seasonal affective disorder or winter depression, which we've talked about many times, a depression that occurs when the days become extremely short by, let's say, Thanksgiving, and this depression doesn't really relent until maybe the end of March when the days are finally visibly longer. But there are people who become depressed when the days become extremely long, let's say around the beginning of June, lasting through perhaps this time of the year, the middle of almost the middle of August. And their symptoms are quite different from those of the winter depression. Winter depression people tend to overeat, sleep more, and become just sort of withdrawn and passive. But people with a summer depression have insomnia, they lose their appetite, they become irritable, anxious, and depressed. But it is a real depression. Not very many people get it, maybe 1 or 2% of the population, and one wonders whether it might be more prevalent this year just because of the burden of dealing with the virus. But there are some very interesting studies trying to figure out why are people depressed in the summer. And there was a very large study, interestingly, showing that the rate of suicide increases, a study about among 69,000 people in Austria, showing that suicide actually increases during the first few days after a long winter and spring of cloudy, rainy weather where you didn't see the sun. When the sun comes out within those first 10 days, the rate of suicide increases significantly, and it's thought it's because people go from being depressed and passive to sort of depressed and active, and they have the energy to commit suicide. After many weeks of sunshine, that rate decreases. There also is some studies showing that the rate of visits to an emergency room with exacerbations of mental disorder also increase during hot and humid weather. And so, you know, are we seeing more depression simply because of the heat, the humidity, the sunshine, because of what's happening? But I think it's important that, and based on what people have been studying, to realize that the seasonal depression that occurs during the summer among some people is apparently independent of all of these factors, COVID, heat, humidity, sunshine, you know, lack of electricity, all of that. It has to occur around the same time every year. It lasts at least 2 weeks and be characterized by these symptoms, again, of loss of appetite and inability to sleep and anxiety and agitation. It doesn't mean that it's helpful to have it, and unfortunately, there are really no good interventions. I mean, there's the antidepressants and talk therapy, you know, helping people become engaged in activities, keeping out of the sun, that's really a no-brainer, you know, putting darkening shades in your bedroom so you can sleep, maybe wearing eye shades, wearing sunglasses when you go outside, and just sort of, you know, holding your own until the days start getting shorter, which they are already. But it's sort of another grim reminder that, you know, summer is not always the thing that we want it to be, and this summer certainly is cracking up to be a disappointment practically on all fronts. But maybe the anecdote is get a new puppy. I mean, then your insomnia has a good reason.
Or something. Somebody who is, you know, there are some people who are more optimistic. And there are other people. This is, you know, people just who are who they are. But someone who is pretty well known for his grimmer attitude started channeling his great aunt, who, when he was growing up, was like, well, you know, pick it up and get on with it. And, you know, we are not. And this, of course, there are legitimate reasons, and this has just been a year. But we're not really a stiff upper lip society. And there is a point where even if you have to fake it, that can be somewhat more helpful than just being completely stuck in a puddle.
No, you're right. And look, the point is, we don't have to shovel snow, and you don't have to worry about coming home in an ice storm or a blizzard, and you don't have high heating bills, and now with no electricity, your electric bill will be even less. So I guess you have to look at the bright side of things.
But right, and I'm not saying, you know, be Pollyanna-esque or foolish. I'm just saying, all right, look, you know, this is ridiculous, but what can I do? I was thinking very intently. A lot of people have relocated to the country, but some of them actually had to be dislodged. I mean, they sat in just in very uncomfortable circumstances when they had an option for being someplace that was less intense and less uncomfortable. And I think that when all of the fallout from this past period of time is assessed, it's going to be interesting to see which people have the tools to help themselves along and which people need to acquire them.
No, you're right. And I think it also is important to take pleasure in small things. You know, the weather is a little cooler if you can take a walk, and no, you don't have to take a shower when you get back home. That's a plus. Or if you can, you know, perhaps share a sandwich outside with somebody sitting socially distanced apart, but having a little bit of contact, or even, you know, making a phone call to somebody and using FaceTime so you can see their face or Zoom, those things do help to make us feel less isolated. And again, with the summer depression, it does pass. And I guess, you know, now that we're into August, people who have it really should feel a little better. But again, the problem, again, one of the interesting things about global warming is that, you know, as the temperature rises, 107 in Spain, I guess, last week, the highest ever in their records, you might see, you know, kinds of depressed behavior that's nothing to do with this seasonal depression, but simply because it's just too hot to be bearable.
No, you're absolutely right. And the other thing, of course, is that we are creatures of light, and it's abundantly clear, at least in this hemisphere, that the clock she be ticking.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, I hope you have your electricity back, your generator stops making so much noise, and everybody can feel cooler.
And good luck with the pup, and thank you very much, Dr. Judy.
If anybody want to send me suggestions.
Oh, you're just going to get a face full of them. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay,
Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio.